Okay, and welcome back. Glad you're along tonight. We're going to spend this hour talking with Reverend Ted Pike, who has, again, single-handedly done more to protect, at least in the public view, and behind the scenes as well, our First Amendment than anyone I know of. He is one of my heroes, and I know many of you feel the very same way. Welcome back, Ted.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
My pleasure. All right, what's new and what's up? We've got more stories. Look for Ted Pike's featured story section in Rents.com on the homepage there, right in the center column, and you'll see the latest. We put them in headlines as well, and Ted is here tonight to talk about them.
Well, I guess it would be about 9 days ago I sent you an email alert from truthtellers.org describing the progress of this Free Gaza flotilla heading eastward across the Mediterranean.
Yes.
The rendezvous attempting to break the blockade of Gaza. And, of course, I never in a thousand years would have dreamed that the Israelis would have been so stupid as to behave as they did on board the largest of the ships, resulting, of course, in the death of 9 people. But this this is really a quite a necessary stage in the struggle that I've been in for the last 30 years, attempting to wake up the world to the threat of the Zionist juggernaut that is rising in the Middle East, not only the world, but also the evangelical church. I've been reasoning with them, arguing with them, quoting scripture to them, attempting through most of my life to bring them to reality about this Antichrist system, which is really out to persecute them, I believe, in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. But this is strong medicine for the church now, and even though the evangelical, largest evangelical so-called watchdog organizations are solidly behind Israel in this and are receiving their propaganda, especially from the ADL and so on. Nevertheless, I think this is not only a dark day for Israel in public relations, but it's also a dark day for the evangelical church, which has supported Israel unconditionally for the last century, because it's getting harder and harder to argue for Israel's benign intentions and the claim that they are the apple of God's eye that can do no wrong.
What amazes me is even when you own the media, it becomes pretty difficult to cover up something this outrageously stupid, deadly. And I'm not sure if it was unplanned and that the ultimate ramifications weren't known, because these people know what's going to happen. They've got these supercomputer models. They're not stupid. But even when you own the media, the truth can still sometimes, through overwhelming pressure by the public to know, come out. And it did, at least to a degree, a significant degree, in terms of what happened on those ships.
Yes, it certainly did. You know, this kind of reminds me of what happened last fall when the ADL published that big 27-page so-called toxic rage report, in which it claimed that literally millions of Tea Party protesters and militia people and as well as Christian conservatives were attempting to overthrow the government as domestic terrorists and so on. And even the liberal media, even the Jewish media, found ADL's charges to be so ridiculous that the whole attempt completely foundered. Even ADL had to admit that they were ignored by their own brethren in the media. And I think that's where we are today. Israel has been a super cocky over the decades, thinking that they can sell the public and sell the world on anything they want to do, and they can obfuscate and cover up and manipulate. But this giant is reeling, because the claims, the preposterous pretensions of this fiasco, especially this week, are simply the human race, the simple logic and humanity of the world is recoiling against the absurdity of what they are claiming. For example, Israel is sticking by its demand that there be no international investigation of this incident. In other words, Israel can be trusted to investigate itself, try itself, and come up to a verdict which is just and right and proportionate. And even they had even Joe Biden, I believe, yesterday on with Charlie Rose, the stooge that he is, trying to make this case that there should be no UN-endorsed investigation, no bipartisan investigation into this. And I mean, even the liberal media, even the Jewish-owned newspapers like our Oregonian newspaper here in Portland are publishing articles out of the New York Times by Christoph and others, which are just fearing of Israel, mocking of Israel, contemptuous. Literally, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I don't believe anything like this has happened since Israel was birthed literally 110 years ago with Herzman and Weizmann and so on. I don't believe I have ever seen such a unanimity of public outrage, especially in European countries. And as I said earlier, this is necessary because there needs to be a rise in public indignation and anger against Israel. I'm not talking about anti-Semitism. I'm not talking about hate or threatening violence or anything.
No,
but there has to be old-fashioned righteous indignation in order to hold them back.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. This is an issue of a country, an independent country, acting as if it is completely above the law, answering to no one, and that's a fact. It's not a guess. It's what they do. Killing people, they always have, whenever they want to. Lying, obfuscating, hiding it, covering it up, refusing to comply with I don't know how many United Nations resolutions. Now they're at least beginning to admit that they're not denying, playing that stupid denial game that they don't have nuclear weapons. They do. The bottom line is, and why Mordecai Vanunu is back in jail, is because they have been using their thermonuclear weapons to blackmail the world for decades. That's how they do it. It's as simple as that. It's not hard to do. You make one phone call, and you make one statement, and it's done.
Yeah. Well, it might be, rather perversely, it might be a possible conspiracy theory that Israel is actually stimulating a fear of its berserk behavior and intentions as a way of manipulating and subduing the nation.
Could be.
That may be a possibility.
Anything's possible, Ted, my friend.
Yeah,
anything is possible.
In fact, the shooting of those four frogmen today, divers, it almost seems like Israel does want to project a wild and reckless image. And if they've got several hundred nuclear missiles to back up that image, it could make almost any nation tremble.
Well, it has for decades. This is nothing new. Read the U.S. Air Force white paper, folks, if you haven't. It's on the left-hand side of my homepage, written by a United States Army major, published by the Air Force. It traces the whole history of Zionist Israeli thermonuclear blackmail. Mordecai Vanunu backed it up, and he's in jail for it. It's true. It's not a game. They've been doing it for decades. John Kennedy knew that's where they were going. He knew it. And he tried to stop them. That's one of the reasons he's dead. Anyway.
Well, what I point out in several articles, which I have put out and you've posted, is that Israel, it's very necessary for Israel to stand by its right, its so-called divine right to transcend international law, because its whole agenda...
Divine right to transcend international law. They're the chosen. They don't have to play by the rules.
That's right. And you see, if Israel backs down now and lets UN resolutions and investigating committees as well as international law tell it what to do, then it diminishes its ability to go forward as basically a so-called hate crimes enforcing agency and arm out of Jerusalem in the years ahead in world governance to deport, to bring to Jerusalem, to imprison those like Zundel and Jermar Rudolph and others who are either anti-Semitic or are Holocaust deniers and so on, domestic terrorists, etc. And this is a very important part of Israel's foreign policy now and in the future, is their right to transcend all
right.
kinds of national sovereignties at will. And
at
they've
will.
Been doing it, of course, regularly over the decades, but what they want to do now is to for everybody to basically to buckle under and agree that that will be an accepted part of Israel. In distinction from the rights of all restrictions on all the other nations, Israel, as those who are God's chosen people and have suffered, the Jews have suffered more than anybody else in the history of the world, should have this privilege.
No one else has suffered like they have. Oh, my. All right, back with Ted in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Okay, and we're back talking with Reverend Ted Pike. All right, Mr. Ted, where are we here? We've got dead people. We've got George Galloway saying he's going to be behind 60 ships and 500 trucks, trucks by land, of course, leaving September 12th for Gaza, a big one. Erdogan said that Turkey was going to send naval ships down to protect aid convoys, but that didn't happen. So he may have gotten a phone call. Which again just says you better not do that, and so they don't. We've got the world now in a truly a righteous rage, and it should be. And this is this is no mean feat when we don't have access to the mainstream media and we're being lied to. The Israelis are saying hidden mercenaries on the ship caused the violence. I mean, it just goes on and on, lie after lie. It's amazing.
Well, it's a new day, though, with the Internet. And, of course, I'm a veteran of trying to fight this battle back in the early 80s, the 90s, and so on, before the Internet became the international grapevine and allowed us to transcend these media barriers put up by the Jewish-controlled media. I think what's happening is that, especially in the evangelical Christian conservative right, there was an immediate embracing of all this propaganda, certainly WorldNet Daily, American Family Association, and other large Christian conservative media sources directly took Israeli propaganda, funneled through the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and accepted it at face value. But I think that what's happening now is that even though there was a lockstep, a knee-jerk reaction of the evangelical right, the fact is that there is a withering criticism of Israel that's continuing to bubble up in the Internet every morning. It's new, it's fresh, it's authoritative. There's a new demand all over the Internet for experts on international law who can give their judgments concerning whether this was legal or not. And interestingly, most of them turn out to be Jews, Israeli Jews or Israeli lawyers, so on. Very, very critical of Israel. And, of course, Norm Finkelstein is outstanding in that regard. And so what I think is that even though the Christian conservative right in America very quickly coalesced around the spin on it, which ADL Israel is giving, nevertheless, there is a withering attack upon the that kind of rather ossified thinking and reaction on the part of the religious right as new evidence, new legal input is given, and it's becoming very clear to all thinking people who aren't religiously biased, like the evangelicals, that Israel really doesn't have much of a legal leg to stand on.
The evangelical Christians, is there any hope for any of them?
Well, I have no doubt that they'll learn someday, but it's going to have to be the hard way.
They'll be they'll be the last to know. They've been used like Kleenex, discarded. Just amazing. I don't know how they can. It's their leadership, so-called leadership, that's selling them down the road, and they know what they're doing.
Sure.
And you wonder if their leadership is, in fact, isn't maybe directly from the ranks of the evil ones themselves.
Well, I certainly believe that Jay Sekulow, who's this messianic Jew who claims to be a Christian, Center for Law and Justice, which he runs, is now basically a Mossad pipeline into the evangelical right. He has specialized for years in ostensibly defending Christians in America, especially who are victims of the ACLU and so on. But very conspicuously, back about 5 years ago, when the district attorney of Philadelphia, Lynn Abraham, was persecuting those 11 Christians, the Philadelphia 11, we tried to get Jay Sekulow to be interested in that case. And one of our people contacted him, and he said that he didn't feel it was any kind of civil rights violation in having those 11 Christians thrown in jail and threatened with 47 years in prison. And we have found that pattern very true also with attempts to get Sekulow to help us in fighting the federal hate crimes bill. He is just extremely absent, conveniently absent in these really big civil liberties issues that have faced this country. Instead, he goes leading the evangelicals after the Muslims and other peripheral issues which really don't deal with the real threat to our liberties. And he is in full cry now as a perfect parrot, a mimic of everything ADL Israel is saying, funneling his message
wow,
literally tens of millions of evangelicals.
Who is this guy?
Jay Sekulow.
See, I don't. I stay out of the mainstream media. I stay out of television. I don't have it. I couldn't tell you anything about talk radio except for a few names. I don't listen to talk radio. I don't have time. I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, he speaks to literally hundreds of millions of people,
wow,
evangelicals worldwide, particularly through Trinity Broadcasting Network, which has a huge international audience. But what I've been trying to do, I'll just divulge a bit of strategy. I have been.
Hold on, Ted, would you please? Let's do it right after the break. Just hang on to that, Ted Pike's strategy. We're going to hear about that and more in just a couple. Okay, back with Ted Pike. Ted, go ahead. You had one other thing you wanted to add there.
Oh, yes. I was just saying
strategy.
Back in the early 1980s when I published my book, and my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, and my first major video, The Other Israel, I knew that we had a tremendous disconnect between the evangelicals and the reality of the Jewish supremacist internationals who were basically out to eventually destroy them. And the chasm, however, between that realization and actually changing the evangelicals was very, very great. But I knew that I had to do it. I had to create a bridge over there and take the evangelicals with me. And what I found was through the hate crimes issue, which was very threatening to the evangelicals, I was able, through years of education and directing my efforts over to the evangelicals, I was able to enlighten them through, especially during this past decade, that the Anti-Defamation League is entirely behind hate crimes legislation worldwide. Now, at this present time, there's not a major new right organization in America that doesn't know that. And that's a result of this incessant effort, very largely, I've had, sending them my emails, educating them, and so on, to the fact of the Jewish origins of hate crimes legislation. But the problem has been that now, even though they will agree with me that ADL is behind hate laws, Israel has always been sacred. Israel can do no wrong. And if people are reading my emails, they will notice that my continuing and latest strategy is to again bridge the gap between ADL and Israel. And what I'm doing is I'm uniting ADL and Israel, and of course I'm not manufacturing that, because ADL is the public relations arm of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going from the known to the unknown. I'm informing evangelicals now that they've gotten to square one, that ADL is bad. Now I want to lead them to square two, which is that Israel and ADL are the same thing. spiritually speaking at least, they are manifestations of the same anti-Christian juggernaut in the Middle East. And so what I'm emphasizing now, and we are in communication with about 600 Tea Party chapters in America. They're getting our two or three of our emails every week. We are beginning to inform them that
act plan of what has been and is being done to the planet. So somebody wrote them, and somebody wrote them, and it was no coincidence that they wrote them so perfectly.
Henry Ford believed in the authenticity of the protocols. I have found the protocols to be so hotly contested and so on, mm-hmm. that for practical purposes, what I do is I go directly to the Jewish Kabbalah or the Zohar. Mm-hmm. But the five volumes of the Zohar are full of contempt for Gentiles, regarding Gentiles as animals and demons.
Oh, they hate them.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And if you really want to find really hot statements about a Jewish Kabbalistic desires to take over the world and slaughter the Gentiles and so on, you only have to go to the Zohar. In fact, back in the early 1980s, I took a trip to Washington, D.C., to the Library of Congress, the Judaic section of the Library of Congress, mm-hmm. for the single purpose of putting my hands not only on the five volumes of the Zohar, but also seeing it in its original Aramaic and looking at the other French translations, the Pali translation, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked into the library, the Judaic section of Congress, I said to the librarian there, I would like to read the Zohar. And his eyes widened, and he was Jewish, and he looked at me and he said, well, we don't encourage people to read the Zohar because it might be misinterpreted.
Oh, really?
He told me that, believe me or not. He said it might be misinterpreted.
How do you misinterpret hate?
I glared at him, and I backed him down, and mm-hmm. then he said, okay, and he drugged me back in there, and there was the Zohar, and I made lots of really interesting researches getting to the original Zohar, because mm-hmm. the Sansino edition, which was produced, the five volumes of the Sansino edition, produced, I think, in 1947, does a lot of censoring of really hot material out of it. So
right.
I was able actually to get some pages from deleted material in the Zohar from the Rashi script Aramaic, and I had Christian Aramaic experts translate that for me. And it's absolutely vile, bold, and very ableistic brew of the 17th and 18th century, that basically the world revolutionary movement, meaning communism and socialism and liberalism, was created. So I don't really need the protocols when I've got that kind of background on the real primary sources of this whole thing.
Right. Well, good. Maybe you should write a paper on the Zohar.
Well, I do have all this in my book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma.
Pull some extractions, excerpts from it, and put them up as columns.
I will, and I have.
Good. All right, well, I haven't seen any that I remember, so maybe you want to resend them, and we'll put them
up. Okay, I'll do that.
Very important thing. See, people, all you really need to do is study history for what it is, not what you think it is, not for what people tell you it is. Actually do your homework and study it. It's all there. It's not a big mystery. But very few people want to make the effort. Okay, be right back with Ted. Back with Ted. Ted, the issue of control is so enormous now and so penetrating to the very core of our society in virtually every major and significant corner you can think of. And these people have made it quite clear, whether they're speaking in Israel or under their breath here or not even under their breath anymore, that they will, rather than give up control and power, they will take everything down with them. That's pretty damned grim and pretty inhuman. And I don't understand. This doesn't represent people pious and honorable Judaic faith. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a secular movement of global domination and subjugation with genocide used whenever. There is no concern for human life as we think of it. These are sociopaths in our own lexicon, and they have no problem with killing people. Never have.
No.
Over 100 million last century that they engineer the deaths
sure.
of. So.
But what you're talking about, Jeff, is what's called Shabbatean Judaism. Back in 1666, there was a Kabbalistic Jew, a devotee of the Zohar, by the name of Shabbatai Zebi in Turkey. And he set himself up as the Jewish Messiah, claiming that he was the God's anointed, come to deliver the Jews and to assume world dominion. And literally the whole Jewish world was convulsed in anticipation of this. The more Orthodox Jews were very skeptical, but on the other hand, the Kabbalistic, more Eastern Jews were jubilant. And even Samuel Pepys in his diary in 1666 talks about how the hard-nosed Jewish financiers on the London Bourse and in Europe, stock exchanges and so on, were keenly anticipating the possible arrival of the Messiah. But the Sultan in Turkey said, well, if you're really the Messiah, then you are divine, and it certainly won't bother you if we shoot you full of arrows, will it? And very quickly, Shabbatai Zebi declined it and became a Muslim. But what he did was, after he converted to Islam, then he revealed that that was only a sham, that he was still a secret Jew, a secret Kabbalistic Jew. And what this established was the right of the Jews to lie, deceive, posture in any possible way, do evil and even violence in order to achieve their objectives. And there was another Jewish Kabbalist in Poland by the name of Jacob Frank, a brandy distiller, who also was a great Kabbalistic magician and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And he developed this Shabbatean idea from Zebi. And then another Jewish wonder worker in Poland by the name of Baal Shem Tov. And they developed a very strong Kabbalistic subversive movement with global ambitions. They united in secret societies with basically a linking to Adam Weishaupt in Bavaria, Cagliostro, Saint Germain. A whole host of these Jewish wonder workers arose, all espousing the Shabbatean idea. And out of that, in a word, came the revolutionary movements, the socialist revolutionary movements of the 19th century. And the Jewish encyclopedias are very candid in proudly saying that they were all led by these Jews. And, of course, it led to the Bolshevik Revolution and the Neighborist involvement in that and so on, leading us into the socialist movements of the 20th century as well as 20th century liberalism. So this all goes back to what I was saying about the seedbed of all of this comes out of the Jewish Kabbalah. And very, very few people really know what the Kabbalah is all about, but it is full of absolutely vicious hatred against Gentiles, a desire to deceive and destroy them by any means possible, even perhaps destruction of Jewish people in the process, certainly involvement of Jewish people in all forms of corruption, such as homosexuality, pornography, a liquor industry, a corruption of humanity, and so on. And this explains why we see all of the great movements, especially in America, that are destroying America, such as abortion, pornography, prostitution, the homosexual gay rights movement, all of this, as well as
well,
time machinations,
they're
all dominated by Jews.
Sad but true. Folks, do your research. And if they were Hindus, we'd be saying the same thing. It just happens to be these are issues that are factual.
These are what we call secular Jews, or part of organized world Jewry.
Right.
And of course, ADL is part of the Neighborif, this secular Judaism that basically is Kabbalistic. We could talk a long time about theosophy of Kabbalah tonight, but basically it denies an intelligent God. It denies any morality in the universe. But it does say that the Jewish people are basically the physical manifestation of the ultimate God in this world, and therefore they're divine. And this helps explain a great deal about the arrogance and divine right, as I mentioned earlier, to transcend international law, mm-hmm. which is being manifested by Netanyahu and Israel at this very moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, above all law, answerable to no one. Now, there are some organizations that are very interesting. It's too bad they don't get more media. I try to cover them when I can. Naturae Carta,
yes,
Jews Against Zionism. A lot of very important statements that they make. These people have a very constructive view toward trying to identify this immoral, arrogant, elitist, genocidal group that you talk about. They do a good job of that. But ultimately, if we had to distill it to one thing, I think it's the secular war on morals and morality that we knew. And I'm not talking necessarily strictly about Christian morals. I'm talking about the kind of morals that I think most good, well-formed human beings are born with. Children,
of course.
Children have morals. They have an inner clock. It is often said that the brain is the computer, but the real heart in the body is the mind. That should be the real mind of the body is your heart. There's something called Heart Math. It's a very interesting website. And the brain, it's this jumbled computer and a messed up hard drive, is causing all the trouble. We no longer relate to our hearts. If we could listen to our heart, that inner voice, which will never lie to us, and children know it, unless they're born of drug parents and have serious physiological, mental, neurological problems, children know. But that's unfortunately weeded out of them very quickly through the exposure to the mass media, which again is owned by whom? And what is their agenda? It is to destroy morality as we know it. There's a new thing on that vile MTV. I ran a story yesterday, and I guess boys think it's kind of fun in this particular episode to, on the basketball court, pull somebody's pants down. You know, pants a basketball player, humiliate him. Funny stuff, huh? Well, this one real skinny, ugly kid, apparently when they pull his pants down, they're talking about his genitals, and he's as they say, over-equipped. And it's this big comedy, and they're making light of all this, and how all the girls are all of a sudden interested in this ugly, skinny kid. And I mean, here you go. They're taking us all down to the bottom of the barrel as quickly as they can, every way they can. And this is just one of the new ones.
That's a reminder that when we get opportunities to speak out, when we get into a position of advantage, as I believe we are in this flotilla incident, we need to get up up on the wall and cry out and let people know the truth and reality, such as never before. And that's what I've tried to do just this afternoon. Well, you're probably aware of this controversy, this uproar over the White House reporter Helen Thomas's remarks.
Oh, of course.
That the Israelis should get the hell out of there.
Yeah, she was forced to retire. They forced her to retire. She was fired from her job as a columnist. And I hope somebody with guts will. I'll pick her up in a split second. I'm sure there are dozens of other sites that will, too. Her right to free speech was completely abrogated on the spot by them, and that was it.
Absolutely. Well, I wrote a real salty little email about that, which I sent to you this afternoon.
Mm.
And you should have it by this time. And people should come to truthtellers.org or to rents.com to read that. It'll certainly be up there on our website, and I hope on yours tomorrow morning.
What is the
what I'm pointing out is that Helen Thomas is speaking biblical truth there. She's saying that the Israelis are usurpers. They're coming into a land which they have no right to come into in their rebellious condition. And God's will thousands of years ago was that the Jews should go into the nations in their rebellion They should live at peace and seek the welfare and prosperity of their neighbors, but they should not be agitating, attempting to overthrow governments and overthrow society. And I stand up for her as saying somebody who is giving rare and unique truth, even biblical truth, to the world in this time. And, of course, the evangelicals are jumping all over her. Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily wrote a particularly vitriolic article about her today. But I'm taking this opportunity, and I hope that's an example for others, that when we get an opportunity to speak out the truth and shine a little bit of real light in this darkness, we should not back away from that.
Yeah, it's up in Ted Pike's featured story box. Helen Thomas' remarks are biblically sound. It's right there. Ted, thank you very much again for everything you do. You're an amazing inspiration to a lot of people. I only wish that the so-called Christian conservatives would wake up and start listening to you instead of some of their really false leaders. I'm not impressed with them. Not at all. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Okay, take good care.